My name is Dennis. I'm a pillow, obviously. Tell you about myself. I'm fluffy, I guess. My case is as you can see, it's just a simple flower pattern, faded, you know.
And I guess that probably changes from time to time, your case.
Oh, yeah. Every, say, 2 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks, I'll change. Nice, simple, flat forest green or navy or the faded flower pattern. Yeah, I don't have a ton of outfits.
Well, tell me a little bit about I guess you live on a bed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
That's right.
Are there other pillows there too?
Yeah, there's three other pillows.
Okay.
One is this very flat sort of over it pillow, you know?
What was that?
Over it, you know, just
oh, okay.
Over it. Just
yeah.
Flattened and just over it.
Yeah.
One is a little loopy because he was put in the wash.
Okay.
Kind of got scrambled and never was quite right again.
Huh.
The third is memory foam.
Okay.
Which it's just, he's not completely flat, but he's not ever going to get full again either.
Mm-hmm.
There's something very fake about him. He wants to be all things to all people. And you can't be anything if you're everything.
Now you are down.
Yeah. I'm down. Goose down.
Can I ask, I wonder, do you think about the geese that you're made from?
I'm grateful to them. I'm grateful to the geese or goose. I don't know. I hope that their feathers are taken and they're still left alive. But I know, like, now that I'm saying it out loud, that's definitely not what happens. They're definitely killed and their feathers are, they're not sheep. You don't shear a goose. Anyway, but I'm grateful.
It's interesting that, like, a feather can both enable a bird to fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's what makes it fly.
Right.
It's also this thing that makes you soft.
Right.
I don't know. It's just funny. I those are two very different things that one thing does.
Yeah. I guess I never really thought about it. Feathers help birds fly. Feathers are very light. Feathers are soft. Angels have feathers. They live in clouds. Clouds are like pillows. And maybe that's where the geese are now. Up in heaven. What would it be like to be a pillow made out of angel feathers? That'd probably be the best. Probably God's pillow is made out of angel feathers. You know, he's just like, hey, Michael, come here. Or Gabriel, you know. Then I guess he'd have to kill them and take their feathers. Sorry. I don't know. My mind goes weird places sometimes. You know, I spend a lot of time with people dreaming. So I guess my imagination just sort of has a dream logic to it sometimes.
Yeah.
Or it just gets away from me. And I don't even remember where I started.
Hello?
Hey, Tony, it's Ian Chillog. Can I ask you a few questions?
About what?
Well, about feathers.
Oh. Okay, let's do it now.
Well, can we start? Can you just introduce yourself for us?
Okay. My name is Anthony Trento. I'm the president and CEO of American Plume and Fancy Feathers in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania.
Tony, do you work with goose feathers at all?
Goose feathers, no. Really, there's not many goose feathers that are fancy feathers.
What is that? I don't know about that distinction between a regular feather and a fancy feather. Is that like an industry term?
Yeah, a fancy feather. There's two classifications for feathers. It's fancy feathers and bedding feathers. Bedding is what you find in ski jackets and pillows, things like that.
Okay.
And fancy feathers are like ostrich plumes and peacock feathers and turkey feathers.
Okay.
That's what Big Bird wears.
So you supply the turkey feathers that Big Bird, the Big Bird is made with?
Right. It's turkey feathers, yes. That's the biggest volume feather that we use. They're made a lot into boas and things like
wow.
You'd see in Las Vegas or something like that on a showgirl.
So potentially the same feathers that make up Big Bird come from the same turkey that makes a boa on a showgirl in Las Vegas.
Right.
Dennis, I want to ask you about the person who sleeps in your bed. Is it just one person?
Yes, usually.
What do you know about him? I don't know. I guess if you were going to introduce me to him, what would you or tell me about?
Okay, sure. I'd say, Ian, this is Dave. Dave is a pretty restful sleeper. Dave used to snore, but he got his tonsils out. Now he doesn't drool as much. He doesn't snore as much. This is how I'd say, this is like if we were at a party and I was introducing you, I'd say, Ian, this is Dave. He used to snore. He got his tonsils out. He's a very heavy sleeper. He used to snore. I guess I'm saying he used to snore a lot, but it was irritating. But anyway, yeah, he sometimes will toss and turn. He'll say insane things. Sometimes he cries. That's what I'd say if I was introducing him at a party. I guess that's probably too much to say. I don't know.
It's comprehensive.
Sometimes he cries. Is that how you would introduce someone at a party?
I think, yeah, I don't think you would. You would not maybe lead. That's probably something you learn later.
Yeah. I guess I just... My relationships are all extremely intimate.
Yeah.
So I guess my boundaries are different mm-hmm. than, say, you or someone else.
I mean, honestly, when people introduce other people at parties, usually the things that you learn don't matter. Mm. There would be something maybe nice about having a pillow's intimacy with other people.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Just get right in there. Learn the important stuff, you know. So I guess what I would introduce someone, I'd say, Terrence, this is Jack. Jack sleeps naked. You know, Terrence, this is Ian. He dreams about flying. And when he wakes up and he's not flying, he's sad for a minute. But then he gets up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to fly inside a plane. Pressurized cabin. You know, like look out a tiny window. See the clouds and see the city below. Wow, what a dream.
I like thinking about that too. I like thinking about you in a window seat,
mm-hmm.
buckled up.
Yeah, oh yeah. That'd be so funny, because I wouldn't need to be buckled up. I can flop around and I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
In-flight magazine, barf bag. Pressing the little call button, all that stuff. Oh, man, what fun. What a lot of fun. I'm sorry, I got way far away from your original question.
How would you, if you were introducing yourself mm-hmm. at a party, what would you say?
Oh, okay, so I'd say, hi, my name's Dennis. I'm a pillow. I dream of being comfortable forever. And... I'm probably a third dust mites, bacteria, dead skin cells, dust mite feces.
A third.
Yeah, probably a good third of my insides are just stuff that was not there. It's not feathers anymore. Yeah, I think that's what I would say at a party.
You know, it's interesting. I think, like, you're made from all this other stuff and, like, everything that you've absorbed. In a way, it's not unlike people. Like, people are, you know, a product of all of their experiences.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same exact thing. Yeah. We are what we've seen. Nobody is just their raw material. I'm not just feathers and cloth, you know? We're made by our experiences. The people we've met, all that sweat, the feces, thousands of dust mites have laid into us, you know? We are all those things. You don't have to be foam to have memories.
So, the bed, it's such an intimate space. Like, you only really, sleep with someone, share a bed with somebody, if, like, you really love them and trust them.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been that way. There was a time centuries ago when kings of different countries would share a night in the same bed to show that their countries had, you know, unity, got along. King Richard the Lionheart of Britain spent a night in bed with, I think it was King Philip II of France, just to show that their countries were getting along, you know, and it wasn't a sexual thing, you know.
They slept in a bed together.
Yeah, literally, they were in bed together. And who knows, maybe they did get up to shenanigans.
I wonder if they spooned.
I like to think that they were in full regalia, huge heavy crowns and their scepters, under a big furry blanket like a bear pelt or something, just knocked out, totally undignified, just two kings just laid out drooling on each other, crowns askew, you know.
If you had been in that bed with the kings,
mm-hmm.
what would you have wanted to say to them?
I would have said, remember this feeling. I think if every leader of every nation spent a night with the leader of every other nation and just had that vulnerability, and you got to observe their nightly routine, you know, just like, oh, you use unflavored Listerine. I use unflavored Listerine too. Maybe we should have peace. I think the world would be a better place. So I would just say, remember this. Who we are when we're falling asleep is, that's who you really are.
It's nice to imagine one giant bed with all the world leaders,
man,
together in a long spoon.
Can you imagine all the different kinds of pillows? Silk, buckwheat, memory foam, hay? Wow.
Have you ever experienced when a person can't sleep, insomnia?
Sure, yeah.
I wonder how that feels, because...
It makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong, to be honest. It makes me feel a little impotent,
mm-hmm.
in a way, where I'm usually like, I got this, I'm taking care of this, and suddenly it's like, oh, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever feel that way. Just...
Yeah, no, often.
Like,
yeah.
Someone else is having a bad time or a bad day, and you think, oh, is it me? And you know intellectually it's probably not you. It's probably they're just having a bad day. Maybe they had too much coffee, or they're stressed out about their job or something, and it's mm-hmm. not you. But it's hard not to take it personally.
My mom always says there's always a third variable. Like when, you know, when someone is mean to you, or their reaction seems sort of outsized to a moment, and you know, you blame yourself. She says there's always a third variable, meaning there's one more thing you don't know about that's happening. So, you know, you don't need to blame yourself.
Yeah. I've been punched repeatedly, and I knew that it wasn't about me, but it's not a nice feeling, you know?
Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, my person came home and was slamming all the doors and throwing his bag down and yelling, just pieces of sentences, not even sentences, but just like, who does he think he is? And you can't talk to me like that, and slamming doors, and then just came in and just started punching me, and I was shocked. You know, it didn't hurt. It was just shocking.
Yeah.
To see someone like that shook me up. Do you know what I mean? And then later, when he was sleeping on me, I thought, man, I can't just pretend like nothing happened. Do you know what I mean? I guess my point is, I didn't take it personally, but I kind of did take it personally. So it took me a few nights to where we were back on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always a third variable, like you said.
There's a story I read. I don't know if it's true. It seems like there's some debate about it. But there's this Greek poet. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Philatus of Cos. He's a Greek poet.
Uh-huh.
There's a story that people say that maybe he died because he he became so obsessed with the liar's paradox that he couldn't sleep thinking about it, and that insomnia killed him. Do you know what the liar's paradox
is? No, what's the liar's paradox?
So the liar's paradox is, if I say the sentence, I am lying, am I lying or telling the truth?
Oh, and he couldn't sleep because of that?
He couldn't. It took over his mind.
Wow. And he died because he couldn't sleep? Well, that'll happen. If you don't get enough sleep, you'll die.
Yeah.
I bet there was other stuff going on there.
With Philatus.
Yeah. It's really a tragedy. It really is. Because if he was able to get some sleep, maybe his dreams would work it out for him. Mm. I think dreams are really important that way.
Yeah.
They help you make sense of the world.
Yeah.
So I think he probably would have gone to sleep, dreamt about the liar's paradox, woken up and said, it doesn't matter. You know? And then just gotten a jug of water. You know, in those really tastefully decorated jugs that the ancient Greeks had. That's what I'm picturing.
That ultimately is a really... That's maybe the answer to all of the classic unanswerable questions. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah. Get a good night's sleep, wake up. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm going to go tell my wife I love her.
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
And then you go to sleep and you wake up and you think, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go patch up the canoe.
I think that, you know, there could be somebody listening right now who can't sleep. You're sort of an expert in helping people sleep.
Absolutely.
They can't, you know, rest their head on you right now.
Right.
But is there anything you would want to say to them?
I'd say, first of all, stop thinking so much and relax. Have a thought that is unconnected to any other thought, a vision, maybe. And just let it go where it wants to go without thinking about what it means. You know, like you're riding a horse. And then the horse grows wings. And then the horse flies up into the clouds. And the clouds are made of light. And then there's a Twizzler's waterfall. I don't know why. You don't know why. But let's go to the Twizzler's waterfall. Now the horse is eating Twizzlers. And you're combing the horse's mane. And you don't know why. You don't know where this is going. And maybe the horse decides to lay down. And maybe you lay down with the horse. And now it starts raining. And now you're in the Grand Canyon somehow. How'd you get there? Doesn't matter. You pull your cowboy hat down over your head, over your eyes, which you'd been wearing, but you didn't realize it. And now you're looking up at the Aurora Borealis, which you can somehow see through the brim of your cowboy hat. I don't know. Doesn't matter why. And now the horse starts eating the Aurora Borealis. You don't know why. Just go with it. Now you put your cowboy hat on the horse's head, and now the horse is the cowboy. And now the horse starts riding you. Good night.
This is Everything is Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chillog. We got help from Emily Spivak. Also, special thanks to Mark Kushner and Chris Barley. We're grateful to the reporting of Caitlin Dixon, John Gillingham, and Athenaeus of Necratus. We heard music in this episode from Blue Dot Sessions. Dennis, the Pillow, was played by Dennis Pacheco. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX and could not do it without Julie Shapiro, executive producer. If you're still awake and trying to sleep at this point, we highly recommend the podcast Sleep With Me, which tells you stories to help you fall asleep, and which is good even if you don't fall asleep, so no pressure. You can find Sleep With Me in the podcast app of your choosing, or just ask your smart speaker to play the Sleep With Me podcast. You can get in touch with us any number of ways at everythingisalive.com. We'll see you soon.
Radiotopia. From Pierre.